Blog Talk Radio.
He that know the right and do it wrong shall be spanked with many stripes. When the heathen come, your children step wise. Even though they make mention of them and those,
fire
they will never be friends.
Fire,
you know why? You know why? Yes, they must be out of a pagan. Your children have the heart of a lion, I know. People are moved with Satan. Righteous shod in the countenance of the Almighty One. Them have the heart of demons. Your children have the heart of a lion, I know. People are moved with Satan. Righteous walk in the countenance of the Almighty One. Poor people see hostility rising daily. Ignorant multiply brutality. We I see that they run down left mommy. We struggle the hard road with fight beginning. Our I see baby has been baby. Nothing that happened now do not seem to amaze way. We know that is the fulfillment of prophecy. Our I see them no build school is church and thing. Church of the penitentiary never empty. Still playing a mental trick on me. Listen, you check you and me check me. And let's bring more love in the black community. Them are the heart of a pagan. Your children are the heart of a lion, I know. Evil a move with Satan. Righteous walk in the countenance of the Almighty One, no. Them are the heart of demons. The children of the heart of a lion, I know. Evil a move with Satan. Righteous walk in the countenance of the Almighty One. Respect the father of the prophet Moses and Abraham. You have to respect the father of Jacob and Solomon. Respect the creator of many nations. He made the birds, he made the beasts, the fishes of the ocean. And fastened them together with his mighty. And he made the man, he made woman, children, the future of the land. So who is you to disrespect the creator, man? 72 nations bow down and crown him conquering one. It would be beautiful in the sight of God, the Holy One, to see the unification of my nation. Them have the heart of a pagan.
Watch that.
Your children have the heart of a lion, I know. Evil a move with Satan. Righteous walk in the countenance of the Almighty One. Them have the heart of demons. Your children have the heart of a lion, I know. In the countenance of the Almighty One, poor people see hostility rising daily. Ignorant multiply brutality. We I see daddy run gone left mommy to struggle the hard road with five bikini. Our I see baby has been baby. Nothing that happened no do not seem to amaze way. We know that is the fulfillment of prophecy. Our I see them no build school is church and penitentiary. Church of the penitentiary never empty. Still playing a mental trick on me. Believe me, them have the heart of a pagan. The children have the heart of a lion, I know. Evil a move with Satan. Righteous walk in the continent of the Almighty.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Welcome to Blog Talk from Hebrew Culture. I'm your brother, Ariel. I know we started the show about 2 weeks ago. The migration of Israel, the migration of the Hebrews. Everything is in Yah's time. I truly, truly believe that everything is in Yah's time. Tyre was sick last week. He's sick this week. My daughter was sick last week. It has been whole lot of sickness going around. So I want to pray for those starting out that Yah will heal the sick. I want to pray for Zach and Eleazar personally. Send prayers up for him that Yah will heal him and touch him, that Yah will be done for him. I want to pray for all Yisrael who is embarking on the Sabbath tonight. The Sabbath door has been opened. All those who are walking through it and taking hold of it, shalom to you and blessings to you, because you walked into the Sabbath door and there's a blessing waiting for you right there as soon as you walk into the door of the Sabbath. I want to thank Abba Yah for choosing us, for pulling us out of this world system, for giving us his strength, for giving us his spirit, for giving us his son, choosing us, for giving us his understanding, for choosing me, for saying just a little bit of his words tonight, family. And it may not be long, and it may be whatever come off the cuff tonight, whatever come out of the spirit tonight, family. In Yahushua's name I pray. Amen. Well, been a rough week for me. Rough week. So I was sitting here, came home, and after I talked to Brother Mattiah, and he was really sick, really feeling bad. So really hope that y'all really touch him and for him and his family, because he's the backbone of his family, that he heals him with the quickness. And just put a healing in the air, because sickness have been going around this time of year. Heavy. Read a post the other day, brother said that, and it was kind of interesting. It was thought provoking. He said, "How is it that y'all wishing that it snow? Because if you know how we are as people, we have our little sayings. If it snow, that it's gonna clean the air. It's gonna get rid of all the germs." And he said on the post that they keep all the germs and all the chemical weapons frozen anyway. So how is it that you wishing and saying that, and they already frozen? All the germ warfare that they have, they keep frozen. And I thought about that, and I meditated on that for a while, and I was like, wow, I never thought of that like that. If they send something in the air, does the cold air, kill it? And the thought came to me, well, maybe that's man. That's man doing things his way. But when Yah cleans the air, Yah cleans the air. There's a difference from man and Yah. There's a difference. And I truly believe that when he do something, it's clean. When Yah cleans something, it's clean. So yes, when the snow purifies the air, cleans the air, the coldness cleans the air. Man has this artificial thing about himself. With Yah, it's pure. So hallelujah to the Father. Hallelujah. And again, back to me this weekend. Sitting here earlier today, like, okay, I had this lesson. We're going to talk about truth. Yeah, we're going to talk about truth. Because, you know, earlier this week, this young lady, she brought out something about why we calling ourselves Hebrew Israelites. And we shouldn't call ourselves Hebrew Israelites because of there's a family here in Elkton, Maryland. I don't know if y'all heard about it or not. That's been going through. They have been locked up. Their kids have been taken from them for the last year. They haven't seen their kids in a year. They both Hebrew Israelites. They call themselves Hebrew Israelites. They're not out of the sect of the angry cousin Hebrew Israelites. They don't call Esau the devil and all that. But still, they call themselves Hebrew Israelites. And they're going through. They have been put out their house. They have been locked up. In fact, the state is trying to give them 13 years apiece for saying that they neglected their kids. They haven't been feeding their kids. They homeschool their kids. They do not vaccinate their kids. And on top of that, they are vegans, and they don't use traditional medicines. What they use is herbal medicines. You know, and for me and probably the rest of the Israelite community, hey, they living well. They living good. But because they are considered to be a part of a hate group, or the word is right there. A cult. They have written down, the laws are written down, they end it as a cult. The Hebrew Israelites are known as a cult. they're known as a hate group. So because the state have this case against them, and they both facing 13 years apiece, but they went to court one time, and they have proven through pictures and through other witnesses that they weren't neglecting their kids, and their kids are in good health. And now that they show pictures of their kids today in the foster care, in the state's custody, their kids are losing weight, their kids don't want to eat. So if you take somebody care for them for a year, now the state using that as quote-unquote proof that this is how their kids been. No, now you're trying to feed their kids pork and all other untyped of cleanness. Their kids are already in the truth or in a way of life that don't accept that. Don't accept anything you just put on their plate. So no, they're not eating, and they're rejecting the needles that they're trying to give them, and they're depressed because they have been taken away from their mother and father. Now, we have always talked about this, us and our congregation here in Baltimore, Beth Yahweh, because we right down the street from Upton, Maryland. And we live in the state of Maryland. So that could happen to any of us. Any of us. We have often said, how true or how would we stand on the word of Yah when persecution comes? And persecution in these this sister and brother's eyes has truly came. They facing 13 years. State went and got expert witnesses and everything against them. If you, my friend on Facebook, who are listening, you can go on my page and you can look at the whole hour and a half of the brother and sister thing that's talking about what has happened to them and what is happening to them. These brothers and sisters, they invited people from all other parts of the state, all other parts of the country to their house. They've opened their houses. So they have witnesses to say, this is how we're living, and we're living righteous. We're living on the path of what the Creator say live. But because we're living on the path of what the Creator say live, the Creator also said through his son Yahushua that the world is going to hate you. It's going to hate you. It's going to despise you. Even those of your household, even those of your family, it's going to despise you. Excuse me, that's a hard pill to swallow. And if I'm not clear as far as this broadcast, because I know in other times we broadcast, we can't really hear each other, but I have an earpiece, but somebody text me and let me know if I am clear. Give me a thumbs up or give me a thumbs down that I'm not clear, and we try to fix that problem. But that brother and sister here in Elkton, Maryland, is going through persecution. And tonight on the Sabbath, all I wanted to do, all I did, is pray to the Father and ask him what he wanted me to talk about. So I wanted to talk about these unrighteous people. Well, he wanted me to talk about some unrighteousness, and we may be going through some hardships right now. We may be feeling just a little bit of the pain right now in our lives. Something may be going awry in our lives right now, but I wanted to talk about the goodness of the Father and what we have to look forward to, what the Father wanted. Because at times we get shaky. We get into a place where, as though, there's a scripture says, a heavy heart can't hear the Spirit of Yahweh. Why? Because the heaviness is on you. Or whatever that's clouding your mind, or whatever that's taking your mind away from being on the Father. And again, we watch a lot of movies, and my rabbi, my spiritual leader, the movie Get Out. We even have so many conversations, and we're going to have so many conversations, because the more you see the movie, the more you get into the movie, the more you understand, the more that the Yahweh allows you to see. Because we talked about it this week, and the question was, I sent them something that one of these conscious brothers did, and the conscious brother was on point. He spoke some truth, and his reply was, you see, a lot of the conscious people, brothers and sisters, are dissecting or trying to dissect this movie, Get Out. And I was like, yeah, I noticed that. but they're missing something. He said they're missing something, the spirit of the Father. So they won't ever truly dissect this movie if they do not have the spirit of the Father. And one part of the movie, one of the most that everybody going to joke about, you're going to see memes about, you're going to see people saying it now. Brilliant movie. Brilliant movie. See it more than once. Because if you see it more than once, y'all going to bring something else to your mind. And there's a place in the movie that's talking about the sunken place. The sunken place. And once you get to this sunken place and understand what this sunken place is, once you get to this sunken place and understand what this sunken place is where she of this brother and made him drop into the subconscious of his mind. He wasn't in control of his conscious no more. He had to go into the subconscious of his mind. Somebody else was controlling the conscious of his mind. And that's what happened with us. As I was meditating on this thing tonight and riding, we get into this subconscious part of our mind where though the name of the Father and the Son was going to be put and placed on our forehead as the seal, as in the book of Revelation, for those who know about the seal. But we sometimes, in our daily travels, in our daily trials and tribulations, we get into a sunken place and forget what's supposed to be at the forefront of our mind. Yeah. And how he asks us to live. So in that sunken place, anything gonna come out. Anything gonna come out. In that subconscious mind state, anything gonna come out. Why? Because Yah is not at the forefront no more. That subconscious is at the forefront. Something else is driving your mind. So you may get into it with your spouse. You may get into it with a coworker. You may get into it with anybody, somebody who has road rage. Split moment, you can lose the focus on Yah, which is the adversary job, which is his minion's job, is to get you off course. And that's where I was this week. I was off course. I was off course this week because I myself had sunk into the sunken place and did not maintain the Father at the forefront of my mind. But thank for this. Hallelujah for the Shabbat. Hallelujah for the Shabbat. You're able to lay down all those burdens if you do. If you don't, shame on you. Shame on you if you do not lay your burdens down on the Shabbat. If you do not indulge yourself within Yahweh. You can be doing anything. Because it's not an outward showing. It's not that you can't be walking down the street and your spirit can still be in tune with the Father. It's not an outward showing. Scripture says those who worship the Father must worship him in spirit and in truth. Many people miss the spirit part. That's what lies within inside you, that you have to get in tune with the Father regardless of where you at right now. You may have to work. Prayerfully, you can get your job sooner or later that you don't have to work on the Shabbat. But are you in tune with the Father? Are your spirit and his spirit interacting with one another? Or are you in that sunken place? Oh, we're going to use that movie. I swear we are going to use that movie because it had a lot of good gems in it. But I wanted to read. My brother Harvard text me. Let me see. Oh, he gave me a thumbs up. Hallelujah. I wanted to read something. A couple chapters in the Wisdom of Solomon. If you got an apocrypha, you can go to the Wisdom of Solomon And we're going to start in, let me get my glasses, verse 11, chapter 2, verse 8, no, we started verse 12, chapter 2, verse 12. And this is thought. And let's read. But let's lie in wait for the righteous man, because he annoys us, is contrary to our works, reproaches us with sins against the law, and charges us with sins against our training. That right there, when I read it, when I first read it, it spoke volumes to me. Volumes to me. Because as a believer, you can see that literally happening to your life. Literally happening to your life. And Yah, who is always there, will show you when somebody is plotting on you. I remember having dreams and didn't understand the dreams, but I remember going, two dogs chasing me in one dream. And I ran up a pole. And I talked to my brother Harvard, and he told me, "Oh, you went high, Aki." Those who dug, this is my first came in about 10 years ago. And those who dug represented some demons that's going to come after you. And sure enough, on my job, 2 days later, they was trying to get me. But because in the dream I ran up high, that means y'all protected me. I was protected. And everything they tried to do didn't happen. But y'all gave me a warning in my dream that somebody is going to come after you. And we all can contest to this. Why? Because he annoys us. Do you understand that your mere presence alone annoys the sinner? Do you understand that? When you're around the sinner and the ungodly, let's call it how it is. When you're around the ungodly, that you are a problem to them. And you may not even be talking about what they're doing. But because you are there, period, they watch you. They see how you look, because, you know, they can read looks. It happened to me all the time. Did not work in a place where, though, you can't treat people wrong. And I won't have you treating the people that I work with wrong. So they say things and they see my look, change their attitude. Yeah, they probably look at me as I'm a snitcher, I'm a tell-a-tale, I'm a goody two-shoots. No, I'm not none of that. I just want to live right. I want to live how the Father asked me to live. That's it. And if I fall into all that, then I fall into that. But I have my problems. But for the most part, I'm trying to live right. I'm trying to live how the Father wants me to live. So you, to this week alone or any other time, you're going to be annoying to people because of your mere presence. That's not right. And it's contrary to our works. You're contrary to that. Now, I like to give examples. I like to give life examples using the word. You're contrary to that. When you walk in your job and they may have a party and there's a pork palace all over the place, they already know who ain't going to eat it. They already know who ain't going to eat it. They already know on St. Patrick's Day you ain't wearing no green just because it's St. Patrick's Day. So won't nobody associate you for celebrating St. Patrick's Day. Just because it's St. Patrick's Day, I made it my business not to put on some green. I'm guarantee you some other brothers and sisters felt the same way. But yet you had our people in green all up and down. Happy St. Patrick's Day. You're contrary to the world. You're contrary to them. You live a contrary life. Be glad about it. I tell you, anytime we come around at these unholy days, these holidays, and because on my job, it's mandatory, you got to work this job. I try to look the total opposite. My Yahushua is kingship. My Yahushua plus Torah is life shit. I got to show it so somebody can ask me a question so I can get a conversation going about, and then they can start thinking, well, why are we here celebrating this day? Professors to have the knowledge of the mighty one. They annoy. Why? Because you profess to have the knowledge, the understanding of the word of Yah. So that annoys them. That annoys them. Oh, you think you're the only one, I know y'all done heard it, the only one and the only one that's right? No, I don't think that. I'm going to show you. I'm going to read to you what I'm talking about. I'm going to read to you. Young lady on the job, man, she's a young lady. She's turning to the faith. So the last couple of months, she's been turning to the faith. Her and her brother been studying. She's like, our whole family is coming. They from Trinidad, and so Shafu Alam, the brother, should be giving you a call, because I'm going to give you a number, and Sister Malcolm number. I'm going to give it to the sister. They from Trinidad, so I'm quite sure. She was like, oh, my brother can talk. I said, oh, my brother can talk too, Shafu L. So they're going to be right in line, telling what she learned to a Christian, one of the Christians on my job, and the Christian said to her, well, you sure you ain't getting all this stuff from the devil? And she said it hurt her feelings. It tricked her. And I was like, wow, well, what, you ain't come to me because I could have, No, I'm not getting this from the devil. Can I show you what I'm doing in the word of Yah? Now, can you show me what you're doing in the word and why you're doing it in the word? Now, who between us two are getting it from the devil? That's how you answer that. No, I'm not, because we live contrary to them. And because we profess that we have the knowledge of the Most High, we annoy them. We annoy them. So they come after us wholeheartedly. He professes to have the knowledge of Yah and calls himself a child of Yahweh. He became to us a reproof of our thoughts. Listen to what the scripture is. To their thoughts. Even their thoughts, you will reprove. Somebody may think to do something wrong. Because of you, they're going to change them. Because of you. He is grievous to us to look at because his life is unlike other men's. They only want to look at you. They cannot stand you because you don't live how they live. You are a sore thumb to them. You stick out. Then you are grievous to them, even to look at. Y'all get it? Oh, I can't stand her. They don't even know why. I can't stand him. I don't like that brother. I don't like him. Can't stand him. Don't know why. But the word telling us why they don't like us. The word telling us why they can't stand us. The question is, how do that make you feel? How do you feel when the world can't stand you, when your peers can't stand you, when your loved ones can't? How does that make you feel? And it hurts. Yes, it do. I'll be the first to say it hurts. It pricks you. It makes you feel sad at times. It makes you feel unwanted at times. It even makes you feel unloved at times. But I'm here to tell you, there's no greater love, none, than Yah's love. None. I know that's easier said than done. I know it sounds good to some, but it's the truth. It's real. Once you come into that right standing, because you got to understand, Satan is trying to squeeze you. He's trying to squeeze every bit of hope, every bit of belief and faith out of you. You have to understand that. So if he can do it by you not, quote, unquote, getting love, I'm going to tell you. I had a question this week for my spiritual leader, but I did not send it. Like I said, I was in that sunken place. I did not send it. And I'm going to ask it over the air, maybe because maybe it may not just be me, or it may be just me. I'll stick out like a sore thumb. I don't care. And the question was, how is it that you can feel so much love from the Father and lonely at the same time in your physical life? Spiritual life is full. It's a fulfillment there. But in your physical life, you feel so lonely. And Rebbe, when you get a chance, send me an answer. And maybe I'm answering it, y'all's answering it for me right now as we read and talking. And that's how I was feeling this week. That's how I was feeling. Chose this life. I chose to hold on to the arm of Yahweh. I'm going to have to tell it like it is. I'm going to have to be honest, first and foremost, with myself. Because Yah already knows. I can't lie to him. We cannot lie to him. So I'm going to have to be honest and open. I can't be the one to say, or be the one that was chosen to say, get naked and don't get naked. I can't be that one. I can't be the one who want to bring fire and brimstone and don't even bring the other part, what man would perceive as a weakness. I'm going to have to bring everything. So that's what I chose. That's what he said. You're Ariel. You are my mouthpiece. Speak it. But that's how I was feeling today, in that sunken place. And let me continue. I'll stop there. 13 again. He professes to know, to have the knowledge of Yah, and calls him a child of Yahweh. He became to us a reproof of our thoughts. He is grievous to us, even to look at, because his life is unlike other men's, and his past are strange. Y'all hear that? What we do is strange to other people. They can't understand why we can't eat a crab. Why crab, we can't eat a crab cake. They can't understand that. Why we don't want to go and dine at Red Lobster's? I don't want to go and dine at Red Lobster's. For what? Ain't nothing in there for me to eat. Our paths are strange to them. We were regarded by him. Now, this is the ungodly talking. We were regarded by him as worthless metal. And he abstained from our ways as from uncleanness. He calls the latter end of the righteous happy. He boasts that Yah is his father. This is the ungodly talking about what the righteous talks about. Let's see if his words are true. Huh? Y'all hear that? Let's test what will happen at the end of his life. So if the righteous man is Yah's son, He will uphold him, and he will deliver him out of the hands of his adversaries. Let's test him with outrage and torture, that we may find out how gentle he is, and test his patience. I'm family. Did we just hear that part? How many of us lost our cool this week from somebody else outside of the family, or even from the family? How many of us have lost our cool this week? Somebody is prying at you. Somebody is poking at you, and they want to test you. They want to get you with outrage. They want to see if you're going to remain gentle and have patience. They want to see if you remain gentle. So they already know and understand the nature of a righteous man, a righteous woman, is a gentle nature. Not the nature of the fools that you see on the corner calling themselves Hebrew Israelites, dishonoring the name of our Father. That's not the nature of a righteous person, a righteous man, a righteous woman. A righteous man, a righteous woman has a gentle nature, has patience. But the ungodly want to test you. They want to see what they can do to push you over. Let's condemn him to a shameful death, for he will be overseen according to his words. Thus they reasoned, and they were led astray, for their wickedness blinded them. And they didn't know the mysteries of Yah. Neither did they hope for wages of holiness, nor did they discern that there is a prize for blameless souls. Hallelujah. So, brothers and sisters, stay gentle. Stay patient. Stay gentle and stay patient, because there's a prize for you at the end. There's something for you at the end, when men torture you, when they want to pry you, stay patient with them, stay gentle. Because there's a prize for you. There's a prize for this lifestyle, for this strange way that we have chosen. There is a prize for us, because they don't know, as the scripture just said, the mysteries of Yah. We know the mysteries of Yah. That's why they look at us like that, because they do not know the mysteries of Yah. But we know them. We are the sons and daughters of Yah. Yes, we call ourselves that. Yes, we cry, Abba. And they look at us like we're strange when we say Abba. But I know for myself, when I say Abba, I wholeheartedly mean my Father, as if in a sperm donor, but a life donor. I wholeheartedly believe that he is my Father and everything a father entails. So yes, I say he is my Father. 23, because Yah created man for incorruption and made him an image of his own everlastingness. But death entered in into the world by the envy of the devil, and those who belong to him experienced it. Going on in 3:1, family. But the souls of the righteous are in the hand of Yah, and no torment will touch them. We missed something, family. We got to go back a little bit. I'm not going to read back, but I'm going to just go back. They ended up killing this brother. So this is where the story has turned. Remember, they said, let's see if his end going to end that way. So let's find, let's continue with the story. But the souls of the righteous are in the hand of Yah, and no torment will touch them. Hallelujah. We understand that right now. That when we pass away right now, before their judgment comes, that we are back with the Father. And he has given us a tour of his kingdom. We are at peace with him right now. Our prize. We're looking at our prize. We haven't attained it yet, but we're able to see our prize when we pass away, as if we live a blameless life. And blameless only means in the way of Torah and understanding of his Son. Did we give our lives to Most High wholeheartedly? Because no, we won't ever be blameless. You don't want to hear nobody say, no, we always going to be a sinner. But as we started off, and as the scripture started off talking about our holiness, Yah will put holiness. Yah has put holiness on us. We can't do it ourselves. He has made us holy. 3:2, family. In the eyes of the foolish, they seemed to have died. Their departure was considered affliction. And you may have died, or some of our sisters and brothers may have died, like the story of the Maccabees. That was affliction. And when those ungodly, pork-eating, I can't get too vile, but those unrighteous men, when they thought that they was doing something to these brothers and that one mother, they didn't understand who they was following. They didn't understand the mysteries of Yah. But in the eyes of the foolish, they seemed to have died. Their departure was considered affliction. And those brothers died. Go back if you haven't read it. If you heard the story of the Maccabees for the first time, go back and read the story of the seven sons and how they died. How these heathens, how these ungodly men put them to death. That's what he's talking about. They thought, well, where your God at now? They asked Yahushua that. They ain't asked him, where's God at? They asked him if he was the son of the mighty one. Unrighteous Hebrews. They asked him, if you were the son of the Most High, bring yourself down, thinking that he died in vain. Same thing for our family. The unrighteous, if we are the ones that's going to get martyred, they're going to think we're going to die in vain. Now, you will die in vain if you deny the Messiah. You're going to die in vain. You get martyred all you want. If you ain't got the Messiah, you dying in vain. Yahushua. 3. And they travel away from us, ruin, but they are in peace. Hallelujah. Did we hear the reassurance of Abba Yah? But they are at shalom. To Maccabees, brothers, they are at shalom. All the apostles that died for the Messiah, Stephen, he is at shalom. All the sisters that died in the Messiah are at shalom. All the brothers and sisters through the ages are at shalom. The wicked may thought they killed them. They may have thought that they was abandoned, but they are at shalom right now. Hallelujah. For even if in the sight of men they are punished, their hope is full of immortality. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Huh? In the sight of men, we may get some stripes. We may get punished. But the end there is immortality. Having borne a little chastening, they will receive great good, because Yah tested them and found them worthy of him. Hallelujah. So if you're going through right now, if you're going through a little chastening, know that the Father is testing you. Wow, because he is the one that wants to count you worthy. He is the one that wants to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Stop looking for man's approval. Looking for that. I don't care who it is. Stop looking for their approval and wanting to fit in. I don't care who it is. Let me read that again. Having borne a little chastening, they will receive a great good because Yah tested them and found them worthy of himself, to them like gold in the furnace. And he accepted them as a whole burnt offering. Hallelujah. What is your reasonable service to Yah? A whole burnt offering is your reasonable service. Hold up. Is it me or is it anybody else hearing where Brother Shaul pulled from? And we're going to continue to hear where a lot of brothers and sisters, where we may read in the New Testament, quote unquote New Testament, where they pull from. In the time of their visitation, they will shine. They will run back and forth like sparks among stubbles. They will judge nations and have dominion over people. Yahweh will reign over them forever. Hallelujah. Wait, Brother Shaul say, don't you know that you shall judge angels? Oh, I'll tell you. This is a feel-good lesson for the Shabbat, because we have entered into the Shabbat door, and Yah had a table ready for us. He had a feast ready for us. Let me feed y'all. Let me read that again. They will judge nations and have dominion over peoples. Yahweh will reign over them forever. Those who trust in him will understand truth. The faithful will live within love because grace and mercy are with his chosen ones. Hold up now. I thought grace started in the quote-unquote New Testament. Huh? We're reading in the Apocrypha, and it's talking about grace and mercy for his chosen ones. I told a sister the other day, I said, you can't get grace and mercy if you're not trying to keep his laws, statutes, and judgment. It ain't for you. His grace and mercy are for those who keep his laws, statutes, and judgment. Why he got to show you grace and mercy when you ain't doing what he asked you to do in the first place? Kindness to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. We read that every week. He have no need to show you grace and mercy. But he do. He do on the scale. He do. Because you wake up every morning, that's grace and mercy. He do. And he will open up that door for you who do not accept his son and is not keeping his law, statutes, and judgment if you put your hand to it. So it is extended to everybody. But who is really for those who keep in his law, statutes, and judgment, and have the testimony, son, Yahushua. Well, let me read it again so y'all won't get confused what I just said. Those who trust in him will understand truth. The faith will live within him in love because grace and mercy are with his chosen ones. Remember, this is the ungodly talking. Grace and mercy are with his chosen one. But the ungodly will be punished, even as they reason. Those who neglected righteousness and revolted from Yahweh, he who despised wisdom and discipline is miserable. Their hope is void, and their toils unprofitable. Their works are useless. Their wives are foolish, and their children are wicked. Their descendants are cursed, because the barren woman who is undefiled is happy. She who has not conceived in transgression, she will have fruit in the visitation of her soul, of souls. So is the eunuch which have done no lawless deeds with his hands, nor imagine wicked things against Yahweh. For a precious gift will be given to him for his faithfulness, a special favor, and a delightful inheritance in Yahweh's sanctuary. This is even for the eunuch. For good labors have fruit of great renown. The root of understanding can't fail, but children of adulterers will not come to maturity. The seed of an unlawful bed will vanish away. For if they live long, they will not be esteemed, and in the end, their old age will be without honor. If they die quickly, they will have no hope, nor consolation in the day of decision. For the end of an unrighteous generation always grievous. Hallelujah. Moving on to four, family. It is better to be childless with virtue, for immortality is in the memory of virtue, because it is recognized both before Yah and before men. The way you live, if you live a righteous life, first and foremost, Yah will see what you're doing and how you're living. Also, be in the sight of men, whether good or bad. Because just like the ungodly is watching you, there's somebody else that Yah may be sending your way is watching you also. And that's how I came this way. Because my brother Ahavel was living a certain way, and I ended up talking to him. I was the unrighteous that the word is talking about right now at one point in my life. And because this brother was living the way he was living, he had favor with Yah, and I esteemed him as being somebody honorable. That's what the word just said. And it go on and on and on. We can look at story after story after story after story after story. Everybody who's in the way, who's in the faith, can contest to that. Because the way you were living, you have brought somebody this way. Because how you were living. They have asked your question, even though they may have not obtained, but they inquired through you because of your lifestyle. Deemed you because of your lifestyle. True family. When it is present, people imitate it. They long after it has departed. When it has departed, throughout all time, it marches crowned in triumph, victorious in the competition for the prize that are undefiled. But the multiplying broad. Oh, man, you know, this was when I first read out the Bible. The Bible, that's where they get that word from, broad. You know, back in the day, you used to say, oh, man, that broad crazy, talking about a woman. But it's amazing. The more you study, the more you learn, the more you see where the world gets almost everything from. Almost everything from comes from the word. Whether if they turned it into a bad word or a good word or however they used it, it comes from the word of Yahweh. But the multiplying broad of the ungodly will be of no profit, and their illegitimate offshoot won't take deep root, nor will they establish a sure hold. For even if they grow branches and flourish for a season, standing on a shore, they will be shaken by the wind. They will be uprooted by the violence of winds. Their branches will be broken off before they come to maturity. Their fruit will be useless, never right to eat, and fit for nothing. For unlawfully conceived children are witness against parents when they are investigated. Amen. But a righteous man, even if he dies before his time, will be at rest. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For honorable in old age is not that which stands in length of time, nor is it measured, given by number of years. Did y'all just hear what the scripture just said? The righteousness does not fall on an old man, because you live to 100 and 105, and you've been eating pork for 105 years, and you lived 105. That doesn't mean that you had the favor of the Most High on you. That's what he just said. That doesn't mean that, because you lived a long age, that you had righteousness on you. You hear that all the time. Oh, my grandmother's been living this long and been eating pork. So what? It does not mean that they had the righteousness of the Father on them. Let me read that again for if anybody didn't understand it. Where else that? 4:8. For honorable old age is not that which stand in length of time, nor is it measured given by number of years. Standing is gray hair to men. See, to men, because you live a long age, you have lived this long, that is understanding. You are a wise person. To men, not to the Father. Not to the Father. Being found well-pleasing to Yah, he was loved while living among sinners. He was trans. And this, I'm not going to go into it. If you, in your spare time, this was a little nugget, a little hint of a brother that came down and lived among us. This talking about a brother. This talking about the anointed of Yah. We're not going to go into that, though. Being found well-pleasing to Yah, he was loved while living among sinners. He was transported. He was caught away, lest evil should change his understanding or guile deceive his soul. For the witchcraft of worthlessness obscures the things which are good, and the world of desire, innocent mind, being made perfect, quickly he filled a long time. Amen. For his soul was pleasing to Yah. Therefore he hurried out of the midst of wickedness. But as for the people seeing and not understanding, not considering this, that grace and mercy are with his chosen, and that he visit his holy ones. Hallelujah. That may come to a couple of y'all in the future. You know, I might get that in the future. But a righteous man who is dead condemned the ungodly who are living, and youth that is quickly perfected will condemn the many years of an unrighteous man, old age. Y'all hear that? It's not that old. It's not that aged man. It is the righteous man that Yah looks at. And the righteous man, he shall judge all things. Hallelujah. For the ungodly will see a wise man in and won't understand what Yah planned for him. And why he safely kept him. They will see and they will despise, but Yah will laugh them to scorn after they come dishonored carcasses and a reproach among the dead forever. Huh? To the unrighteous man and woman, you can live your life however you want, but even in death, you will be dishonored. Even in death, So don't think that you're going to close them eyes and it's all over for you. No, it's just starting for you. It's just starting for you. I'm going to read 18 again. They will see and they will despise, but Yahweh will laugh them to scorn. As for this, they will become as dishonored carcasses and a reproach among the dead forever, because he will dash them speechless to the ground and will shake them from the foundations. They will lie utterly waste. They will be in anguish, and their memory will perish. They will come with coward fear when their sins are counted. Their lawless deeds will convict them to their face. Huh? To understand truly what he's talking about, you have to go read 2 Ezra chapter 7, starting at verse 100. Your Bible may not have it, but it may have 2 Ezra 2, 3, and 4. It's in one of those three. It's in one of those four. I guarantee you how they broke it down. Some prophets may have Ezra 1, 2 Ezra 1, 2, 3, and 4. Yeah, they may have chapters 1, 2, 3, and 4. But within, I mean, are books 1, 2, 3, and 4. But within those four books, this story is in there. My Apocrypha has Ezra 1 and 2. In chapter, in Ezra 2, this is the story, and when it's talking about the kingdom of heaven and what happens to that soul. One side, that soul will give a, like we talked, he will be given a grand, and he will see what he's what's awaiting for. The other side, that soul will give, going to be given a tour. But the tour is what everything he's going to get in hell, in Sheol. That's going to be his tour. So in anguish and fear, and as the scriptures say, a liar will not tie in front of Yahweh, you ain't going to be able to speak. Your sin's going to come and confess to Yahweh. They are the ones that's going to come and confess to him. Oh, my. Whew. I'm telling you, Spirit of Yahweh is powerful. You may ask how your sin's going to come. We have to remember that sin is an entity. It is a live entity. And as he told Brother Cain, that sin lies in wait for you, that sin still won't have to go back and have an account with the Father. And he going to point you out. Oh, yeah, that one right there. Yahushua didn't stick up for him. That, oh, yeah, 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 we did it together. Yep, me and you. He going to point you out. So it's going to confess against you. But let's move on. That's another story. I ain't trying to go that route. But the Spirit just went. I'm going to read 19 again. Because he will dash them speechless to the ground and will shake them from the foundation. They will lie utterly waste. They will be in anguish, and their memory will perish when their sins are counted. Their lawless deeds will convict them to their face. Hallelujah. Moving on to 5, family. The last chapter I'm going to read is chapter 5. And this is all things that have taken place in the kingdom. Then the righteous man will stand in great boldness, because this, at this time the unrighteous have passed away. Then the righteous man will stand in great boldness before their face of those, before the face of those who afflicted him and those who make his labor of no account. What is his labor? What he's doing for the Father. His work for the Father. His Father's business. They looking at you. Hey, oh, please, man. You can just credit. Hey, you're doing that. That's a labor. Because why? We deny the flesh. You ain't got to deny yourself. Come on. Come on, sister. Take that veil off. Take that rag off your head. You walking around like that. You can wear tight, revealing clothes. Take that off. Why are you oppressing yourself? Take that off. Huh? Be free, sister. Come on. You can show all the cleavage you want to show, all the booty you want to show. That's normal today. If you ain't showing some booty, something wrong with you in the eyes of the wicked. That's your work, though. You deny yourself. You ain't trying to live how the other world, how the world is living. You want to deny yourself. So in that kingdom, you're going to stand boldly in that wicked person's face. That took what you did as a joke. That took your work, that took the denying, the sacrifice of yourself as a joke. You're going to stand boldly in their face. When they see him, they will be troubled with troubled fear, with terrible fear, and will be amazed at the marvel of salvation. Hallelujah. Woo. Hold on. Ooh, that cat George Carl. Oh, man. I wonder if he knew one believer that he persecuted. When he opened them eyes and marvel and see that, the fear that's going to fall upon that brother and the marvel of salvation. Among themselves, repenting, and for distress of spirit, they will groan. This was he whom we used to hold in discern as a parable of reproach. All those people who died, who put believers to death, all those people who was going to die, and is going to put believers to death, they're going to want to repent. But didn't Yahushua give us something about that? Lazarus and the rich man, the rich man asked Lazarus, can he go back and mourn his brothers? He asked Lazarus, go back. And Yahushua never said that was a parable. That was real. Yahushua was telling us something. He was showing us something. We see where these brothers pulled from. We already know Yahushua. We know about him. They will speak among themselves, repenting, and for distress of spirit, they will groan. This was he whom we used to hold in discern as a parable of reproach. We fools consider his life madness and his end without honor. Last week when I first read this part right here, the sunken place that I was in this week, I was in full throttle of the conscience of Yah last week. I mean, my spirit was on fire. When I read this, it all day long, I was on fire for this one scripture. And it made me want to cry for joy all week long because I knew and I understood it. It was real. It opened up. And I can see all the people who have ever looked at me like I was mad and as if I was the fool for doing and living this way, as if I was the fool for living this way. And when I read this, it gave me the best feeling I ever had in my life, bar none. I mean, when I say bar none, I mean my kids, and y'all know how I love my kids so much, and anything else in my life. I never experienced a feeling like this in my life where I just wanted to cry all day long, and I just wanted to share. I called a couple of brothers and told them about it, but I don't even think they understood what I was saying. I'm quite sure they had their moments when they was in my shoes, whatever Yahweh opened up to them. But for me, it hit home. Because I can hear and see all those people who look at me as if I am the fool for living this way of life, for choosing to try to live my life the way Yah asked me to. I'm the fool, they say. We are the fools who live this way. We are the fools to try to resurrect a dying religion, quote unquote, or a dying language. We are fools for that, to try to seek out the old past, the original, what Yah has sent down. We fools for that in their eyes. But this scripture right here is going to let us know who are the true fools. We considered. We fools considered his life madness and his end without honor. They don't believe that we have salvation. They don't believe that. They look at you like you're crazy. You know it and I know it. You felt it and I felt it. You are looked at as if your closest friend look at you, that was your closest friend, as if you were crazy. Your family members look at you as if you are crazy. To go back to what he said earlier. Because we are a reproach to them. And we don't live the way they live. We're not on the path that they're on. Our path was strange to them. Because it's strange and it's not like the norm. We are mad. We are looked at as fools. But I'm here to tell you, in the end, they're going to call themselves fools. They're going to call themselves mad. We're not the fools. We're not the ones that's mad. We are honored. We are honorable beings in the Father's eyes. If you never had that feeling, search for it. Ask Yahweh, what is that brother talking about? And he'll show you. What is he talking about? 5. How was he counted among the sons of Yah? How is it his lot among the saints? This is the ungodly that's asking this when they're dead about you. Counted among the sons and daughters of Yah. How is his lot among the saints? Truly we went astray from the way of truth. The light of righteousness didn't shine for us. The sun don't rise for us. Who the sun rise for? If it don't rise for the unrighteous, who does the sun rise for? Israel. Ibrit. Yisrael. And we're going to move on. That's another story. We're going to talk about that right now. But Yah was showing me that too. We didn't came to the door about this Hebrew Israelite thing. Yah never said Hebrew Israelite. Yah said Ibrit Yisraeli. That's what Yah said. So we only got to walk through the door on this too, family. We can't just come to the door. We got to walk through the door. We got to go back to all the truth, not just some of it. We understand we're Hebrew Israelite? No, we are Ibrit Yisraeli. That's what we are. And we ain't changing this because what those fools doing, for what these ignorant brothers and sisters are doing, we're changing this because it's the truth, and that's what Yah called them. Okay, 5-6 against that. Surely we went astray from the way of truth. The light of righteousness don't shine for us. The sun don't rise for us. We took our fill of the path of lawlessness and destruction. We travailed through trackless deserts. But we didn't know Yahweh's way. This is what the ungodly is saying. What did our arrogance profit us? What good have riches and boasting brought us? Nothing. That's my words. That's not scripture. Those things all passed away as a shadow, like a message that runs by, like a ship passing through the billow water. Which, when it has gone by, there is no trace to be found, no pathway of its nail and its billows? Or is it like when a bird flies through the air, no evidence of its passage is found, but the light wind lashes with the stroke of its pinions, and torn apart with the violent rush of the morning wings, is passed through, no sign of its remains? Or is it like when an arrow is shot at a mark, the air departed, closes up again immediately, so that men don't know where it passed through? So we also, as soon as we were born, ceased to be, and we had no sign of virtue to show, but we were utterly consumed in our wickedness, because the hope of the ungodly man is like a chaff carried by the wind, as a form vanishing before a tempest, and is scattered smoke by the wind, and passes by the remembrance of a guest that waits but a day. But the righteous live forever. Their reward is in Yahweh. Don't look for no reward in man. Don't look for gratification in man. Look for your reward in Yahweh. And their kids, their care for them, and the care for them with the Most High. Therefore, they will receive the crown of royal dignity and the addendum of beauty from Yahweh's hand, because he will cover them with his right hand, and he will shield them with his arm. He will take his jealousy as complete armor, and will make the whole creation his weapons to push his enemies. He will put on righteousness as a breastplate, Rabbi Shaul again, and wear impartial judgment as a helmet. He will take holiness as an invincible shield. He will sharpen stern wrath for a word, with a sword. The world will go with him to fight against his friend foes. The shafts of lightning will fly with true aim. They will leap to the mark from the clouds as from a well-drawn bow. Of wrath will be hurled from an engine of war. The water of the sea will be will be a rage against them. Rivers will sternly overwhelm them. A mighty blast will encounter them. It will winnow them away like a tempest. So lawlessness will make all the land desolate. Their evil doing will overturn the thrones of princes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Stay the course, family. Do not allow the tribulations of this world to get you off course. Do not allow the tribulation of this world to keep you off course. Because every now and then we will go off course. Because we're learning, we're growing. And as we grow, as we get through one battle, that means we're stronger. And that's what Yah is doing. He's testing us, like the scripture said, as though a little chastening. Stand firm, no family. Stand firm. Hallelujah. I want to thank y'all for listening to me. I want to thank Abba Yah for allowing His Spirit to come through me. Prayfully, you have something that was for somebody. Somebody has got something out of it. And Yah will be done. In Yahushua's name, amen. Shalom, family. Matter of fact, Shabbat Shalom.
All the glory belongs to you. All the glory belongs to you, oh God. All the glory belongs to you. All the glory belongs to you, oh God. Yeah. All All the glory belongs to you. All the glory belongs to you, oh God. Yeah. All the glory belongs to you. All the glory belongs to you, oh God.
Give your name the highest praise today. So we say hi.
Name and we give you glory, we lift your high in all the earth.